XOXO JK is brought to you by National Machine. National Machine is a Minneapolis-based tech collective that builds digital products, systems, and experiences. Their services include design, engineering, hosting, content creation, and strategy. They are extremely productive grown-ups who love what they do. And that's cool. Get in touch with them at nationalmachine.co.
I'm Jen Shaw.
And I'm Kate O'Reilly.
And you're listening to
XOXO
JK, a podcast about life, the good stuff, the real stuff, the funny stuff. This week, we have another very special guest. Two guest episodes in a row. Can you even?
I can't. It's redhead, too much. Fancy skirt person, reader, movie buff, dog mama.
The sweetest dog mama.
Amazing lady and best librarian in the world. Ashley Crone is in the studio with us today.
Oh. Hey, that's me. Ashley. That's me. You're talking about me.
We're talking about you. Thanks for being here today.
Thank you for having me and my tiny dog, Hawk.
Yay.
Your tiny silent dog, Hawk.
Yes. Yes.
He just like,
he's the best dog.
I mean, we're gingers, so, you know, we're just like pretty much the greatest.
I love the picture of you guys in your still kicking t-shirts, the green t-shirts this week.
I like purposefully.
Oh my God, that was cute.
So like I'm wearing my like feminist shirt. I have so much still kicking gear. Yep. It's ridiculous. But I was like, Hawk, we need to have, we now have two matching outfits.
Well, you told me because you got what size? The 8-month-old?
Oh no, I got like the 6 to 12. It's like the smallest size.
Okay. Oh, for Hawk.
Yeah. I remember you messaged me and said you can fit your dog in some of these sizes.
Oh yeah. I was like, oh, this would be perfect for Louis. I tied a little knot. He's just like, he lives the 1990s lifestyle. Like, he gets it knotted in the front.
The clip,
my shirt,
the little
back.
Plastic. Remember those little things you would put the ends
of
your t-shirt through?
Oh my God, I forgot
through?
About those. I have a similar thing right now that keeps my bra straps together.
Oh, yes.
You know what has? It's like a figure eight. Too, yes. Yeah. It's always a little too tight here, but yeah.
When you wear a tank
but are you
that.
Loosening your straps a little bit?
And then,
okay, good. Just want to make sure.
Yeah, thank you. I do loosen them and cross them too.
Yeah, you know, I like
unhook?
That too.
Oh, yep.
So I just unhook them. I feel like that's better than boobs. We always end up talking about boobs and poop at some point.
Yep. Oh my God, boobs. I love talking about boobs and poop.
It's true, because those are important things.
Mm-hmm. They are. They say so much about your health.
It's very true. I was thinking about my boobs today as I walked my dog this morning without a bra on. I was like, well.
Whoa.
You're welcome.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, mostly.
You're welcome.
That's dangerous. I mean, but I'm just like so impressed because like the minute I wake up until I go to sleep, like these babies
hell
are strapped
in.
Really like a real bra? Because I wake up and I put on like a soft bra for like, you know, chores and morning
like a bra
stuff.
Lent.
And yeah. Yes. I found a good one from that True & Co.
Okay.
That has like, it's got like a soft, like, it's got like a mesh straps and then like some padding, but it actually holds. It's not just more like wearing a tank top or a, like, you know, a demi
shelf
cup.
Bra.
Yeah.
Or
no,
something.
Not like that. Yeah. It actually is a good one. I found it on some site that you could like, you could wear it to Target and be like, okay. It has like some, it's called True & Co.
But what?
So I wear that until like I have to be like, you know, in public.
This is just, I mean, like people can see that's such a foreign concept to me because like, I feel like I'm like strapping into armor.
Yeah, I know.
Like,
are you yentling that shit?
Which is why it's really hard
when you,
for
like,
me to
strap it down. Remember Barbara Streisand and Yentl? She like wraps.
Yes.
Yeah. I almost feel like I have to like ace manage. Like I'll put on a regular bra, like underwire, strapped in, like going up and down stairs. I still have to put an arm across
really?
It.
Really?
Yeah. Like we're in like triple D territory here.
Holy
So this is like no joke.
It's amazing.
I've lost 75 pounds in the last year and I'm still a double D. I'm a double D. Like I went down 4 band sizes and the cup size and I'm like, can I just get one cup?
How are
cup?
You a double D? I'm a C.
Can I just get one cup?
I'm wearing
down?
A sports bra
you know,
right now.
Like D's instead of double D's. It's just so much easier to find a bra. Yeah. Look.
Well, because you have to think about like rib cages and then from there.
Yeah. Oh, so. It's also rib cage stuff. Yep.
What size sports bra do you wear?
XL.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Crazy.
And those are, it's usually like I have to do a little bit of tucking, you know? But yeah, I was just like, oh, come on.
Yeah.
But well, you have a really small upper body.
I do. I have a
tiny
waist.
So that could be
waist.
The difference, I bet.
Yeah, we do. We are built really very differently. Yeah. Isn't that crazy? Boobs. So the reason I wanted to have you on the show is well, a number of reasons, all the reasons I listed before, but also most recently I found that a couple of posts just struck me so hard at where I am in my life right now. And then, I mean, where I have been in my life for like 10 years probably, but just this idea that we are not going to be cured from our depression necessarily. Like that depression isn't necessarily something that we're going to check off like a virus or like even, you know, something
or
we
like
can
running a half marathon.
It's an ongoing thing.
There's stages of it. It creeps in, it creeps out. It surprises us with when it sits on our brains. It sometimes it doesn't make any sense.
Right.
We were just talking about that this morning. So about 2 weeks ago, you posted about having to really, in the last year, for one reason or another, retreat from some friendships that weren't necessarily, and not even specific things, but just retreating in general and having some people like notice and be supportive and some people notice and be like, oh, I guess, you know, like not put off by it, but just
not know how to deal with it.
Yeah, that's really well put. So you post on friendship that, or on Facebook on friendship.
Well, it's basically the same thing.
I was like, I literally ran into someone today and they're like, I feel like I know more about your life because of Facebook. And I was like, yup. Like,
yeah.
I'm just not out very much.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Well, and I don't know that it's a terrible place to be honest. There's like, we said a lot of people that are just do kind of highlights there and no lowlights. And I, you know, I try to do a mix of both. And, you know, you're right. Sometimes they're like picked up in a way that's like feeling sorry for yourself or, you know, if you do post but something negative.
Also, like sometimes it's a way to reach out for help too. I mean, you know, we've talked about this before, but my own battles with depression and when I had a little breakdown situation, I didn't know how to ask for help. So I literally posted something on Facebook because it was like the most generic public way to do it without having to have like a one-on-one.
Yeah.
That is more scary. You know what I mean? And like, if I wouldn't have done that, like who knows what would have happened? So.
Yeah. No. And when I saw it, like I knew where you were enough to understand it. And also that I didn't feel like I had to comment on that exact post because we had a more open line of communication, but I don't think it's a terrible way to get help. Right. I really don't. And I liked your post, Ashley, because it showed us that, you know, that this thing can happen to someone else, I guess. You know, because I've had the same thing happen where people just don't understand what I'm going through at that particular moment. Or they actually can take it kind of personally.
Oh, yeah.
Which is more about them and less about you.
Yes.
Well, because we're all the main character of our own story. And we just assume everything is about us.
Yeah.
But I mean, when like someone reacts negatively to you, oftentimes, especially if you are trying to do something to help yourself or make a positive impact in your own life and change direction of where you're going, and someone reacts negatively to that, I feel like that speaks volumes about who they are as a person and where they are at.
Oh,
it has nothing to do with, you know, like, you know you're doing good things and that's great. They can't handle you doing the good things. That's their issue. And you just have to sort of walk away from that.
Right, right. It's like when, you know, it's a kind of a classic story about someone who, you know, if you're trying to lose weight and they like try and sabotage you with your like familiar behaviors or something or aren't supportive of like, I understand how hard this is. Yep. Like I'm not going through this.
Or like trying to be more positive in your life. And then you get a snarky comment like, so what are you like living the secret now or what?
Right. Yeah.
I just rolled my eyes so hard. And I was like, oh, nobody can see this.
Someone actually said to me once and I was like, cool. Enjoy being like terribly angry at everything.
Like just keep reinforcing those neural pathways.
That's a real thing someone said to me once. I was like,
oh my gosh,
I just don't want to hate everything. Yeah. I don't think that's so bad, you know?
No, I don't either. And I feel like, especially in your, you know, not sub-industry, but in the comedy world, we know.
It's a sad place.
Well, it is a place where people can be like recklessly honest.
That's terrible.
And
it's a great way to describe that, recklessly honest.
Yeah.
Like, right. Instead of, it's not responsibly honest.
Maybe that'll, like, maybe that'll be my new Twitter bio, recklessly honest.
I don't know if you want it to be opposite day, because I don't think that's who you are anymore. Maybe it is opposite day. Keep working. You know what? Keep pitching those Twitter files through me.
Maybe that's the name of my album, Recklessly Honest. I'm like, fuck you, and fuck you too.
I like that. I actually like that approach. Okay, like good. the kind of deciding which fucks to give Recklessly Honest.
I like it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
There we go. We discerned our
explicit rating. Here we go.
I thought I was going to do it. I mean, you know.
Everyone. We tried once to like not have an explicit, and then I was like, shit.
It was truly like, remember that like 11-year-old thing you do, like it's in secret with your friends, that shit, damn, fucking damn, fucking
you guys,
damn, shit.
I was on,
remember that little like,
yeah. In Milwaukee last weekend, I had a television interview and I said shit on the air, morning television, AM television. I was like, you know, and like shit. And then the host goes, shoot. I was like, yes, moving on. Like I literally swore on AM TV. I was like,
in Milwaukee.
God damn it, yes.
That's really going to wake people up.
It is.
So you like, did everyone a
people,
favor.
The
you
two really people did. That watched, they were like, whoa, wide awake now.
And I, you know, the other thing that a couple weeks after that original post about like living with chronic depression, high functioning chronic depression, you said like, I had a great therapy session today. And you just like introduced it like, you know, this is what my life looks like. It wasn't like setting it up in a way that was careful for certain people or anything. So I like the way that you just came out swinging and you said, I tracked progress on healthy decisions I've been making, dissecting the unhealthy decisions I have been, making plans to address the unhealthy decisions and become more healthy. Feels so fucking good.
Yeah. I like that post.
Yeah.
I was on like a natural life high after that. And for me, like, just to give you some background, and by the way, this is terrifying for me to like admit to like the internet, but just like, I have major depressive disorder, generalized anxiety disorder, and trichotillomania, which is an impulse control disorder. It's like a cousin of OCD, where like basically when you get stressed or anxious, you pull out your hair. Mm-hmm. So that's really awesome for someone who is as vain as I am.
Okay.
Like, I cover that up a lot.
It's specific to, okay.
Yeah.
Hair. Okay.
But then on top of that, or in conjunction with that, I also was molested as a kid. And so when you have like a childhood sexual trauma, that's massive. And that's something that like I've only ever shared that or even the details about with like 10 people I know. But I've been realizing like in going through therapy, like that trauma and not dealing with it for so long exacerbated so many of the issues that I have and like exacerbated my depression and anxiety and all this. And so now I'm trying to tackle it more head on. Like it's nothing, it's not really something you ever get over. Like I'm never not going to be someone who is molested, but it doesn't, it also doesn't have to define me. Like I choose to be defined as like a redhead and a reader and now like a dog mom.
No, I think you're right. I think that we now know that trauma is the cause of depression and anxiety, period. Like that is, I mean, it doesn't matter what trauma it is and, or like how severe it was.
It just is
very personal, but it's like you could see it, like if you were living your life up until this point, seeing through the lens of it, and then up after this or whenever you feel like you've done, you can like carry it.
Yeah.
Like you can carry it like in a...
It's how you deal with it.
It's a fanny pack, but mine feels like Everest style pack that I've just been carrying for so many years.
Yeah.
And so like when you talked about how I've been... It's okay. You're just like...
Maybe I'm stylish that way.
Yeah, no, they're really cool right now. Jenny Slate just posted a really awesome fanny pack photo and I was like, I could get behind that.
I mean, fanny packs are kind of great. I used to wear one for work, like a flat one.
Yeah.
Because I just had to be in so many different places in the library.
Yeah. But. Yeah. No, I was started to be really honest about my sexual abuse after Aiden was born, my 12-year-old, and he's now 12. Because I was like 9 months after he was born, and I was like, I mean, I need to be like, I'm responsible for keeping this person alive.
Oh, yeah.
And so I consider it now. I mean, then it was sucked, but I consider it, you know, now like the best thing that ever happened to me.
Right.
That this like tiny human came into my life when he did. So he could show me that I needed to be like level, that I could no longer like stuff all this.
Oh, yeah.
All these things and be okay. Like I had done that on my own. For when he was 25 years, you know, and survived sometimes barely reckless behavior and everything else throughout. But then after he was born, I was just like, there's no choice but to figure this out and like go to, you know, some intent. I did therapy and then I ended up doing like an outpatient program because I was like, I can't do 50 minutes of therapy every 3 weeks and then go back to like raw to raise yeah. these kids. So for sure, like it's at some point you realize you this is the path you're on. I'm using a gesture with my hands. You can't see me because this is radio, but and then you get like skewed off of it.
Oh yeah.
And then you have a chance to come back, but without the right interventions, you know, lots of people don't.
Yeah.
You know?
And okay. that for me, like I'm not married, don't have any kids. But that's one
dog,
of the
though.
I mean, I do have a dog, but I like get to leave him alone for several hours and like yeah. CPS would be all over my ass if I did that with a real kid. So yeah,
it's true.
So thankfully he's a dog.
I found out the hard way.
No, can I just ask kidding. A question? I want to ask yeah. you a question. Have you always been in therapy or is this like a new thing?
Oh yeah. So I'm 32 and I started going to therapy when I was 16. Mm-hmm. So huge proponent of therapy.
Yeah, me
I've
too.
Been on antidepressants and anti-anxiety meds since I was 19. My mom's a psychologist, so mm-hmm. I really just I have like been in therapy my whole life. Mm-hmm. And even with that, and sometimes because of that, like I needed therapy even more. Like mm-hmm. both of my parents have like their own issues with like mental health stuff. Mm-hmm. Like one of my brothers, well, I feel like kind of both of them, but you know, it's their story, so yeah. I'm not going to speak to it. Mm. But I feel like when I put myself against all of my family members, I think I one have like the most diagnoses and I think it's probably the hardest for me. But yeah, like when I was 16, like I asked to go to therapy. I said, I need to go. And luckily my parents listened to me and supported me and they still like therapy is really expensive. My mm-hmm. insurance only covers like a third yep. of one of my sessions. And so like as much as
that is wrong.
Oh yeah. It is criminal. Like the guy that I go see, like he is a psychiatrist. Like he is, you know, really good in his field. And so he's expensive, but it's like, I mean, I love that correlation of like having a mental illness is just like having diabetes. Like I didn't choose it.
Right.
There are certain things I can do to be healthier, mm-hmm. but like it's to me, I've accepted that like it's never going to go away. Mm-hmm. I just assume that I'll never be off medication. If I ever do, like, hey, that'd be fantastic. Mm-hmm. But just the fact that people are like, well, why don't you just like get over it or oh, yeah. you feel better?
Please tell me that you're a fan of Maria Bamford.
Oh, yeah.
And all of the jokes that she does about mental health.
That new show my favorite. Is so good.
Yeah, Lady Dynamite is great. Stars a lot of Minnesotan people, which is awesome. But oh, like,
it's bizarre.
Her jokes. That she, if you ever watch her stand-up sets, and Aparna Ninchela too, she talks a lot about mental health. But like Maria, you know, she's like, nobody goes up to someone with cancer and is like, cancer? Everybody has a little cancer. Get over it. Or like she talks about like bad eyesight, like contact lenses. Like, you wear contacts? I don't even know who you are.
Yeah, can
like,
you just take off those eye crutches?
Right. I mean, it's just like, it's right. just, it's very poignant and like it brings the issues that need to be talked about. In a way, it's kind of like how no one talked about breast cancer for forever, mm-hmm. and then like suddenly now no one cares, like
because breasts are sexual objects. Yep,
yes,
is that why?
Yes, uh-huh, and so okay. like breasts. Now you can just say it, and no, it doesn't. I feel like
that's, we normalized it. Yeah,
yeah, we normalized it, and that's like where we're going with mental health. I feel like we're on that path. We're not quite yeah. there yet, but it's much more.
Yes, but within that, like, you're taking it one step further and saying, like, but actually, you guys, I was molested.
Yeah.
Like, you're like, I don't just have depression or anxiety, right. you guys. Like, this is the next level. And I, that well, is you not know, easy,
what
actually.
The room,
I,
no, what the root is.
It's, yeah. like, easy because there are just, like, a few of us in the room.
Yeah.
But when I think about, like, saying that to someone's face, like, my heart starts beating and my hands start shaking yeah. and I get choked up because oftentimes when you're sharing it, it's like re-experiencing it.
Yeah.
And for me, like in talking about pulling back these few years, like a couple of years ago, I had an experience with someone really close to me and it just completely re-triggered everything that happened when I was a kid.
Yes.
And so it's hard for me to say like I was experiencing PTSD, but like my psychiatrist is like, you are having PTSD because of that. And right that's now. Like, I'm like, I have to deal with this. I can't keep living like this because the only person who's getting hurt is me.
And then you get the set, you take the setback, and then oh, you yeah. have to like dig out from the setback.
And yeah, and you just like
so
live into all your
unhealthy. So was that the catalyst for you then to really kind of, was this always something that you talked about with your therapist, or was this thing that happened to you that sort of triggered everything? At that point, were you like, okay, I really need to dive into this a little bit? Does that make sense?
Yeah, no, I get what you're saying. It's something that I've gone like in and out of talking about.
Yeah.
And I even still have difficulties talking about the actual event and
yeah,
like the actual things that happened. Even when I'm in therapy with somebody who I like have been seeing this guy since I was 19, you know, like he was the person who first started prescribing my medications because my other therapist at the time was like, I'm not going to do both, which like I think is really great. And so I've had a long relationship with him, but I still have difficulty talking about
it. Of course.
And I love what Kay, what you said earlier about like varying degrees. Like I've even had difficulty because when I try to look at like the spectrum of sexual abuse, like I'm always like, mine like wasn't that big of a deal.
Oh God. So, yes, it was. Know? Yes.
But like, that's the thing I've had to come around to is like any trauma or abuse, like it's about how it affected me.
Oh my God.
You know? And it's just,
well, and anything done without permission is a huge violation.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Like, well, that's like, and this is by no means comparable, so I'm not trying to do that, but I think about like, you know, if you think of like in terms of like a rape scenario where it's like, if you have not given permission, and regardless of how much you've had to drink or like anything like that, like I have a situation where I was like,
yeah, then it probably was.
Right.
Yeah.
And, but like, I've never processed it like that, but like looking back on it, and the reason why I never took this guy's phone calls after it happened.
Right.
But like, it's,
well, there's even talk right now about the Stanford rapist and how, because he didn't use his genitals, he used his fingers, from what we know, that that is like somehow a lesser crime.
Yeah. Or because like he was also drinking, and like the way that people are reporting on it, like reporting her blood alcohol content, and yet
and then his swimming time,
and then his swimming time, and like you never see his mugshot; it's always his like yearbook photo.
I saw your tweet just now about that there's not even a mugshot you can find of this fucker,
because that's
online.
What the media does. Like if you look at, I mean, even looking at like the Trayvon Martin stuff, it's like, same thing, you know,
but reversed.
Yeah.
Like you can find like every gross, ugly, awful picture of him, but none of the ones where he's like holding his little sister on her birthday or
Well, there's a Tumblr about call. I think it's something effective.
Jamar
like
Clark,
if I get shot
thing,
down,
yeah.
you know, and it's I think predominantly African Americans, but anyone who is black showing like a regular photo of them, and then something where they're being construed as like a thug or less than, you know? And that's like, that is white supremacy, and that's misogyny at work. And I think people get really uncomfortable when you say white supremacy because you think KKK, but it's like anything that takes whiteness and puts it above anything, that is white supremacy.
Yeah. No, I thought
you
put
it really
well.
But that picture of that Stanford swimmer, he looks like a psychotic serial killer.
Oh, yeah.
And he does not look like a nice...
He's a psychotic rapist.
But I mean, I'm just saying like... He does not look like someone that even though it's a nice picture, I'm just saying, like, looking at his face, I was like, that guy's fucked.
Yeah. And the thing is like, I'm so proud of her for how she's put it into
my
words.
God. Oh my gosh. That piece that she,
the strength.
Yeah.
We've come so far from her even feeling like she has a voice or a platform.
We have to link
to
that
heard.
Because I read that last night. I got home from the show. I was sitting in my car reading it, and I was just like, right on.
I had to take breaks. I couldn't read it all at once.
It was so good.
Speaking of like trigger warnings or, you know, or the idea that like things can bring up and you never know what it's going to be.
Oh yeah.
You know, like you never know what day you're going to read something that's, you know, going to like render you incapable of like, you know, getting your kids off the bus. I mean, I honestly, when you're a sexual abuse survivor, you don't know like what's going, and that's one of the parts of how traumatic it can be and how like, it can go,
you have no
span your whole life.
Yeah, you just like, it's an event that was taken out of your control, and then you have so much lack of control. Like yesterday, I saw Me Before You, which is like total tearjerker. And at the end of the movie, I'm crying because I have emotions and I like to express them because I'm tired of shoving them down, you know. But then in my head, I'm like starting to like yell at someone because of like the work I'm doing to get over like this abuse, and it was just so. It was so surprising, and I also didn't want to get into the, like, where you're so upset. Like, I don't do loud screams. Like, I do, like, a silent scream when I'm really upset. Yeah. And I was like, oh, God, I don't want to, like, go to that point because, like, I'm in a movie theater, you know?
Right.
But, like, it can just hit you or come on at any time.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Like, I'm trying to live, like, a normal life like everybody else. Mm-hmm. Like, that's what I'm doing to try and, like, you know, that's what I'm doing to like go to therapy, go to outpatient therapy, say these things out loud. So I can just like not have the possibility of crying in the middle of the day. Like, that's a right too, you know?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, or like, just... if you want to cry, you don't have to go into the bathroom at work and do that, you know? Or, and then it's like, I cried in a meeting recently because I have been so overworked and so stressed. And then I was really upset because I'm like, people are just going to hear the emotion or just see the tears and not listen to the words that I'm saying. And that relates to that huge piece of like not being heard. Mm. And then that's exactly what happened for days after. Everyone is like, are you okay? And we're kind of treating me with kid gloves. And I even had a male coworker who normally is like really great. And he had just like told another coworker, like, well, be careful because she's like upset right now, you know? And I was like, I don't need to be handled with kid gloves. Oh my God. And I don't need to suppress my emotions at work. Like, right. I don't need to go around screaming and cursing. I'm not doing that.
Yeah.
But I get to be passionate or angry or upset.
Good luck being that guy's
things.
Partner. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah. Roll my eyes at that guy. Like, nobody gets to be anything but like together all the time. Like,
yeah. And I'm sure, so like, in his mind, it was like good and like he thought he was helping me, but I just wanted to be like, I am at a point where I know when to ask for help or things mm-hmm. like that. And it's just, I mean, we all have those missteps, yeah. but I was like, dude, not cool.
Good.
But of course I haven't said anything to him yet because mm-hmm. it's like. Because
you're talking about it on the podcast.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm talking about it to the internet. So like,
yeah. Well, and the good news is we had a Minnesota Daily is doing an article that'll come out this week about us. And that was one of the things I described to her that, and I think in another interview we did too, that, you know, podcasting is, there's a safety to it because you know that people have to commit to listening mm-hmm. in order to get the real information that we're saying. Yeah. It's not like they can just read an article yeah. and then like have these pull quotes.
Yeah.
Right. Like they have to listen to this full episode in order to get the information we're talking about. So that's mm-hmm. why it's sort of a safer medium that way. And I think a really good medium for.
Well, and they have to find us.
And they have to find us too.
That's okay. I'll be tweeting the shit out of this.
You're going to be
Facebook,
so...
Tumblr-ing.
Yeah.
So, and then I also, I just want to say I'm proud of you for doing that work.
Yeah.
And I know too. For what it's worth, right? Because there's some sort of like, when someone says you're proud that they're like taking some, like taking a little credit for it.
Yeah.
That's not what I mean. I just mean I'm like, I'm.
Or it's condescending. Like, I'm so proud of you.
Yeah. I never mean that. I mean like, yeah. Oh my God. Oh, bless your heart. Now we know that.
Yep.
Bless your heart is the, oh, interesting of the South.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's true.
But the like going a step deeper to not just naming that you have depression, but saying like, okay, what are the root causes of this? It's not easy work.
Yeah. Well, first off,
thank you.
And
it gets harder. Yeah. It gets harder before it gets easier.
Oh, it gets,
that's true.
It gets so much harder. And it's just, I just feel like for me, like if I want things to be normalized, like depression, anxiety, like I have to find those points when I'm comfortable and talk about it. So I've had a few friends in the last couple of weeks just check in and be like, how are things going? And I'm like, things are actually going great. I'm like, I actually don't post about any of my like quote unquote issues if I'm really feeling it. I'm like, mm-hmm. when things are hard for me, you don't see me. Like I don't really respond to texts. I flake out on plans. Like I'm not same. Around, you know? And
that's
so,
how my depression works too. Same.
Yeah. And it's just, and that's the part where it comes with like, I was like that for like a good 2 years. Like at one point, it's been almost like 3 years since this like re-triggering event, but like it got so bad that like I had to move home because I could not handle living on my own and dealing with all this and having a really stressful job. Like I could do two, but I couldn't do three.
Pick two.
Yeah.
Sort
and
of like
so,
that thing.
Yeah, exactly. Mm. And then once I finally got to a better place, which was in part because of adopting Hawk, like 50% of the reason I got him was I was like, I've been reading all this research about dogs and therapy and like,
yeah.
little dude like makes me happy every
day. Have you registered him
day.
As an emotional support animal?
I haven't yet, but I really, oh, I'm
I
like,
I love
need
that.
To do that.
I didn't know about that.
Yeah. And then you can travel with him on the planes. Or
yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. He, well, I mean, I literally like, I was telling you guys before this, before we started recording, like I like held him like a teddy bear last night. And like, yeah. I just like have yeah. him like curl up on my heart. I'm just,
I know the feeling.
So is it things yeah. in addition to the like kind of routine they add, what would you say things in addition to that, like I mean the closeness, like the physical contact or something, but also that could happen with someone like I have physical contact and depression mm-hmm. so but you know what I mean, like I always think of it as just a routine thing that the dog, you know what I mean,
for
I'm just
me,
asking someone who doesn't
like,
have a dog
like,
right now,
you know, I don't have kids, I'm not married, so I don't have like a person or a well, I do have a person now, but you know what I'm saying, like,
yeah,
in general, like this is somebody who depends on you, who loves you, who is like genuinely wants to make you happy.
Yes.
And like is your companion. So, I mean, Louie travels with me pretty much everywhere mm-hmm. except for work during the day. But
isn't that a bummer?
Yeah. Other than that, I mean, he's with me all the time. And like, it just, it like grounds you. I don't know how else to mm-hmm. say that. It's like, and then waking up every morning is like the best day for him.
Yeah.
Every day is like, this yes. is fucking great.
Oh my God.
Yeah. I mean, and having exposure to that. Yeah. I'm like saying it because I'm curious, but also just to expose it to a general yep. audience, you know, because I think I get it, but
the mental health piece, it's like you leave for 5 minutes and you come back and they're like, oh, I didn't know if you were going to come back. I love you so much.
Why did you really mean I love you?
Did I tell you I loved you?
Yes.
Did I tell you I
loved
you?
There's this movie that's coming out, like The Secret Life of Dogs.
Oh my gosh. The Secret Life of Pets.
The Secret Life of Pets.
Yeah. We saw the preview yesterday.
It's animated and like, when the one dog, like the owner leaves and the dog just sits by the door waiting and they're like, hey, do you want to go do this? He's like, no, I'm busy. But you're just sitting at the door. He's like, I know. He might come home at any time. Like, I have to be ready. like so
speaking
cute.
Speaking of Hawk, he wants to be heard and loved right now.
Oh, yeah. He's like, yeah. Finally woke up.
And then the poodle who does like the death metal jamming. Oh my gosh. Yeah, that looks really cute.
I can't wait.
To see it.
Yeah. I mean, for me, it's like Hawk is like a total morning dog and I'm not a morning person. And so I attempted for like 4 days to make him sleep in a crate and do the whole like wait 6 months before you, nope, couldn't do it. He was just so cute.
Oh.
And like when I first went to meet him, cause like I wasn't even thinking about getting a dog. I was like, dogs are great, but there's so much responsibility. I went and my friends, it's like a couple friend of mine. And he came up and handed him to me like a baby, just like belly up, and just put him in my arms. And like, I was a goner right then. Like, you know, he's a little ginger. And I was like, oh my God, we're just two broken creatures who need love.
Yep. Oh,
because Hawk is a former sex slave. So a little bit. He was a stud in the puppy mode. So yeah,
is he
it's
a
just.
Chihuahua?
He's a Pomeranian.
Okay.
Yeah.
A Pomeranian.
And he's just like, he's so excited. And I think that's a great thing about rescue dogs is like, they just so desperately want to be loved and taken care of.
Yep.
And I want to be loved and taken care of while like obviously still taking care of myself. And so it's part of that routine. It's part of the like, I'm responsible for something else. So now instead of that like weight of constantly taking care of yourself, you're taking care of somebody else.
Yeah.
And then he's just so excited to see me.
Yep.
And so he literally he's always the best part of my day, even when he pees on things, which is like almost constantly because I just still haven't broken him of that habit. So,
Buddy.
Like he always wants to go with me to work and I'm like, I'm sorry, I can't.
Yeah.
But yeah, he's my best friend. So, or one of them, you know, it feels weird to say that even though they're like, dog is man's best friend.
I feel
I'm
that
like,
same.
Oh, it's legit though.
Well, I think it's more of a fluid concept than we, you know what I mean? Yeah. Best friends. Like it can like morph, even like neighbors that are like my neighbor, like my alley neighbors, I only see them when it starts to get nice out because otherwise we're just shivering into our cars and out of our cars. So it's like that sort of, you know, the fluidity of that day to day, depending on what you're doing.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, for sure. My dog was before he died, for sure.
Oh yeah. Oh like my God. Constant. I like go to pieces thinking about when he's gonna die. Mm. I just like try not to think about it.
But
they really are. I mean, they're always there and you know, they're just little buddies.
Yeah, they are. Yeah. Well, I'm glad I was saying earlier that I think both have a great turning point in both of your lives. Like from witnessing from, you know, you know, not an outside perspective, but from a friend's perspective. Yep. It was just like, this is so awesome. And then you got a dog and I was like, at first I was like, okay, let's make sure you can handle this.
I was like,
people totally said that to me.
Let's get a dog.
But it turned out to be so great. And like listening to yourself, you know, in that moment turned out to be awesome. And it turned out to be one of the best things
I remember.
That's
ever happened. I was like, I think I'm going to get a dog. She's like,
Let's just have a sesh about that to use some of your words.
But it was funny because I was like, I'm an adult. I can get a dog if I want.
Right.
So I did.
Maybe that's just the control that you needed in those moments too.
For
right.
Sure. Sure.
So speaking a little bit about movies anyway, you're a huge movie buff. I saw your post about, I wouldn't say buff.
Yeah, I get uncomfortable.
Nerd.
Yeah, like a nerd. And
did
so,
you see The Lobster yet?
Oh my God, I just saw that this week.
Okay, I'm going to go see it tonight.
Are you?
So many things to talk about.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I find it to be weird because like I born and raised in Minnesota, went to Boston, went to BU for college, lived in LA for a year, like working in the film industry, and then ended up coming back here about 8 years ago. And I realized I got so disconnected from it when friends I've had here for 4 years, and when I tell them I went to film school, they're like, you did? Like I had one friend who was like, oh, I don't see that. And I was like, okay. I was like, yeah. Well, it's a thing. Like, do you want me to show you my really bad student films? But it's like, I guess I don't talk about it, but it's one of those things I realize, like, when you move away from your passions or the things that made you feel alive, and that's something
totally
that, like,
get that.
Yeah, like, that's something that, like, depression, like, totally eats up in you. And so now I, like, posted, I was like, oh my God, who wants to go see movies with me? And I'm like, I'll go see pretty much any movie, but, like, I also want to see movies where I can say pretentious stuff like mise-en-scene and cinematographically speaking, because I want to use that muscle that I spent, you know, a few years working on. But oh my God, yeah, The Lobster, like,
so good.
So good. So many, like, commentaries on modern relationships.
I can't wait.
And just, it's so awkward, but
so
in
excited.
A beautiful way.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Oh, I love that. Yeah, melancholy is my favorite genre. Ooh. Like, I love melancholy. I love, like, the kind of pull, like, that it creates, or, like, not everything being, like, I don't like everything tied up.
Perfect.
Oh, I mean, sometimes that's exactly what I need and
want. Obviously, yeah.
So you love Nicholas Sparks.
I know, that's gone too far. But I do love, like, I love Katie Heigl.
Yeah.
You know, like, I like to read an Us Weekly on a plane, and I love the movie 27 Dresses.
No.
Like, do you know what I mean? Like, sometimes that's just not what you need and want. But for the most part, like, the movies I love a lot are, like, 100 Days of Summer.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, the movie.
500 Days of Summer, yeah.
What, 500?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, and I'm not always good with names.
No, it's okay. That's why I'm here to help you.
Yeah, no, it's good. And so that, like, those kind of movies where it's, like, a little bit of a puller, like a near miss or that kind of stuff, I love that. So I think I love The Lobster.
Yeah, it's good. I kind of, there were times when I just put my hands up, like, what is happening? And, like, I take notes during movies, which an ex-boyfriend, before we started dating, was like, you are not, like, that's not going to be a good date thing. And I was like, which, I mean, explains why we're not still together to this
day.
Right.
Let me, like, determine what good date things are.
Yeah, I was like, this is my thing. Like, let me just be me, you know.
But I got to say something, and I'm not always one to compliment or talk about people's appearance. But your fingernails,
I know,
are so fierce.
Oh my gosh, thank you. So,
what is going? Is that just jet black?
Yeah. So it's jet black, and they're in a stiletto shape. I've had these for about.
Is that what they call that shape? I didn't even know.
Yeah,
that.
Stiletto. And so I've had these for about 9 months, and I've actually just been, I, like, just rejoined a gym, and have, like, committed to, like, getting healthy as a way to, like, manage my depression, anxiety, and also, like, look good naked, because obviously. Oh, and, like, if somebody attacks me, be able to run away. Those are, like, my three fitness goals.
Totally.
But yeah, I always like to have some. I mean, did I say thank you? Did I miss that? I'm sorry.
I don't know.
You for that.
I didn't notice. I'm still looking at your nails.
I always want to have something in my outfit, to quote a Yola Tango album, that says, I'm not afraid of you and I will beat your ass. So most of my jewelry is
weaponry.
That's
a really great thing.
Thank you. And I mean, obviously, like, relates to, like, trauma and, like, you know, I'm a big ball of mush on the outside, but I appear tough. Like, I like to wear, like, boots, and I wore, like, a studded belt for 10 years.
Yeah.
You know, so I'm like, oh, I'm tough, you know, don't fuck with me. But also, like, oh, hi, I'm super awkward. I don't know anyone here. So it took me, like, 3 months to train one woman at the shop. And I literally brought in a picture of a Swiss Army knife. And I said, make my nails look like that.
Wow.
Yeah. And they were like, what, seriously? And I
go, they do look like that. I always
saw them,
some Lady Gaga shit.
Oh, like, yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, I want to, because they wear down. I'm like, in the first week, I want to be able to, like, scratch my face and have it hurt a little bit. Like, that's how sharp I want them to be.
Wow.
And because, like, I, you know, I work for a school district, so, like, I can't wear any of my weaponry jewelry. Right. That's inappropriate.
So
this is what I have.
Like,
And so the thing that's so sad is, like, I work at the district level now, and so I don't really get to see kids, but, like, my coworkers comment on it. And half the time they're shiny like they are now, and the other half I, like, put on, like, a Sally Hansen matte top coat because I just love matte nail polish.
Yeah, it's really, really pretty.
And so, yeah.
And those are your real nails.
Oh, God, no.
Oh, okay.
No, they are liquid gel. And then it's a liquid, or then it's like a gel polish on top.
Wow.
So I'm like, I am serious about this. And this is someone who, like, I was totally a tomboy as a kid.
Yeah.
And then I realized when I was wearing makeup every single day and I keep my nail polishes in the fridge to make them last longer, I was like, oh, maybe I need to just, like, change my perception of myself with my identity.
Yeah.
But I mean, but you can also be a tomboy and do this. You know what I mean? Like, identity is fluid and you get to define it yourself. But yeah, thank you. These are, like, I just always want to feel
the
house.
Had to.
It's also nice since they're not my real nails. Like, they don't break as easily. And so mm-hmm. I look down and it's really soothing. So I almost want to use my HSA to pay for it because I feel like it soothes my anxiety.
Register those with the caring. What is the thing with
your dog?
Emotional
support.
Emotional support.
Mm-hmm. Emotional support nails.
Register those.
That's amazing.
Yeah. TM. I'm going to trademark that.
All right. Anything else you've seen lately that you love? Movie-wise?
I pretty much, when I'm at home, I pretty much just watch TV on the internet. I don't own a TV, so it's all on my iPad. And I totally meant to go out last night, but a friend like told me some news where I was just like, oh, that just makes me really sad. And so I binged like predictable films. Like, I watched The Intern, and then I watched Spy, and then I watched Trainwreck Unrated, like while doing a bunch of like, while doing a bunch of like house chores.
I loved Spy.
It was good.
I watched it like folding laundry and like ended up like just laughing my ass off. Mm-hmm. Just like, it's just pure sort of Melissa McCarthy using her body and right?
And like,
I'm kind thinking of like, the right movie.
Yeah, just like kind of joking about like spy tropes and stuff like that.
Yep.
But
she's so great. Yeah. Melissa McCarthy, I love her.
Yeah, she's amazing. Like,
I totally took my best friend to see The Boss when she had a bad day.
Oh, I haven't seen that yet.
I mean, it's like ridiculous, but it's
right. Okay. Yeah. Well, we're also going to link to that Mighty article you posted in the show notes, which I thought was amazing. We're also going to link to all of the pictures of you in your epic skirts.
Thank you.
I love that light up skirt was insane.
Thank you.
The light up skirt, the library page skirt, the multiple tutu situations.
Yeah. That's kind of like one of my like creative outlets now. Cause I realized like another reason why I wasn't feeling great is that like I wasn't creating anything.
Yeah. Oh, Tina talked about that too.
Yeah. So I just kind of got back into making skirts and like the light up one, like I didn't sew anything on that.
That's so cool.
And I remember like I took a sewing class in high school my junior year and my mom was like, what is that going to say to colleges? And I was like, that I have real skills and that when the apocalypse comes, like I can keep our clothes together.
Right. Right. Just tell your mom that Project Runway is in its 14th season.
Yeah.
That's all she needs to know about how big of a thing sewing is.
Preach.
Yeah. Well, let's wrap up. Thanks for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
You're the best.
Oh,
you are the best. So
stop it some more.
This is Kate, and you can find me at clever-kate.com or on Twitter at cleverkate. Oh, and you can find Ashley at Aunt Cowlick, Ann Cowlicks.
Yes.
On Twitter.
And Instagram, right?
And Instagram too. Yep. It's the same. If you want to see her, we will link to her skirts, but just in case.
And this is Jen. You can find me at Jenchall on Twitter or at jenchall.com on the internets.
And you can find this podcast on mathishard.net or anywhere you listen to podcasts, including iTunes.
And now,
the Google Play Store.
My favorite is when you said, if that's important to you.
I know. I couldn't help it. I just couldn't help it last time.
It was great.
XOXO.
JK.
Thanks again to National Machine for their promotional consideration of XOXO JK. Go build cool stuff with them at nationalmachine.co.